Begin the current daf, Masechtas Makis, daf Zayin. Begin 5 lines down for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the final Mishnah of this Perek, continuing on related halachas of the previous Masechta, which is this Masechta is built on, from talking about the halachas of Sanhedrin, and specifically also regarding a previous Mishnah which spoke about the unique halach of Edim Zayin by Gemar HaDin, that it's uniquely after the verdict is handed down. So the Mishnah discusses a halacha relating to that. Misha Nigmar Dina Ubarach, if someone had the verdict was handed down already, it was already decided, it was the conclusion of the court case, but before they got a chance to execute him, Uvarach, he fled. Now, Uvarach ne oise bezna, and then later on, he comes back to that same court that he was found guilty by, says the Mishnah, ein seisun es dinei. So we don't destruct the verdict, and to go and rehash again the court case to say, okay, maybe we'll find merit this time. Rather, we're going to go ahead and execute him based on the previous judgment. So too says the Mishnah, any place where there's two judges who get up and they say, we could testify regarding that person, that his verdict was handed down already in that court, and these two people were his witnesses that he had committed that crime. So automatically they just go ahead and they execute him. They don't have to have a court case for that. They're testifying that he's already guilty and they're believed, and they go ahead and they execute that defendant. Now the Mishnah says, Sanhedrin neheges be'eretz u'b'chutz la'aretz. The Sanhedrin, the great court, the high court that could decide capital punishment, is both in Eretz Yisrael and out of Eretz Yisrael. But again, as long as the Sanhedrin are in the Lishkas HaGazes. Now the Mishnah says, Sanhedrin ha'areges echad b'shvua, a high court that executes once in 7 years, nikra chavlan is already considered a destroying type of a court. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he says, Achad l'shiv mishana, once every 70 years. Now, Rabbi Tafra and Rabbi Kiva, they said, and it's illustrating the same point that we tried to save the defendant, Elo ha'yinu b'Sanhedrin, had we been on the high court in the days when they decided capital punishment, l'inerik adam, a person would never have been executed through the court, me'aylam, from ever. As the Gemara will explain, that they had such questions that the witnesses would not have known to answer definitively, and that would have let the defendant off the hook. Now, Rabbi Shimon Loi Loimer, he said, af, but then also, had they done that, then Heinmar ben Sheikh Chidam Yisrael, they would have increased murderers in the land of Eretz, in the Jewish people, because no one would have been afraid of the courts, because they know, of course, they're going to find a way to find a flaw in the witnesses, and they're going to let me off the hook. So that would have actually increased murderers, although it's being done in a way to defend the people from being executed in the court. Now the Gemara asks an inference from the halacha of our Mishnah. Sounds like the Mishnah opened up, lefnei oisev bezn hu de'in soisun. The case was, if someone was, the verdict was handed down that he's going to be executed, he fled as a fugitive, then he came back to the same court, so we don't redo it. So it sounds like only in front of that same court. Halefnei bezn achar soisun, sounds like, but if he would run away to another court, that then they would deconstruct and they would start all over again and say, you know what, maybe there's something that we can find over here. The problem is, Hatani Seifa, but then the Mishnah continues and says, another halacha. It said, Kamokim Shiyam Dushnaim Yemer, any place where two witnesses get up and say, sounds like any court, Me'idin Anu Esesh Plain Yishinig Medinim Bezdin Plain, we could testify regarding that person that his verdict was handed down over there, Uplaini Plaini Edim, and those were his witnesses. Harezin Erege gets executed, sounds like not only in the first court, but any court. So you see that we don't redo it, and automatically they go ahead and they execute him. So Mabai says, Lakash, it's not a difficulty. The inference from the Reisha, although it seems different from the next case, it's in different places. Kan be'eretz Yisrael, and the Reisha is talking about in Eretz Yisrael, Kan be'chutz la'aretz, and the Seif it's talking about in chutz la'aretz, meaning it depends where he was running from to where he's running to. It's time to go to the Braisa. He says, Baruch me'eretz l'chutz la'aretz. If someone was a fugitive, he fled from Eretz Yisrael to chutz la'aretz, which how we're describing the case of the Reisha, ain't seisin es dinei. Then we don't deconstruct, we don't do over the whole court case in the new courthouse. However, mechutz la'aretz, actually that's the case of the Seifa. But because wherever the witnesses get up and say that the verdict was handed down that he's guilty, that he's going to be chayiv, and we're not going to start it over, is to one where he had the court case in Eretz Yisrael and ran to chutz la'aretz. But mechutz la'aretz, but if let's say he had the court case was originally in chutz la'aretz, out of Eretz, and then he ran to Eretz Yisrael. That's the case of the Diga de Resha, that if it was going to a different courthouse, Seisin as Dina, then they would redo his court case. Why? What's the difference? And they Zechusa Shal Eretz Yisrael, because of the merit of Eretz Yisrael, maybe it's going to help that they could find for him some opening of merit, and therefore they redo the court case. So the contradictions between the two cases of the Mishnah, the Resha sounds like if it's a different courthouse, then you do redo it, and the Sefer makes it sound like not. It's because the Resha is talking about where he went from Chutz La'aretz La'aretz Yisrael, and the second case of the Mishnah was when they went from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, there's no reason to find more merit, and then even there, they're not going to be Seisur as Dina, and then they're just going to go ahead and execute him. Now the Mishnah says Sanhedrin Ahegis of Achulu, that the high court is in Eretz Yisrael and the Chutz La'aretz, which is that of 23 judges that could execute a person. 71 is in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara says, "Benan Emili." Where do we know this from? The Torah Malan. We learn the Brisa. The pasuk says, "Mamid b'vahoyu eil lachem," that these should be for you. The chukas mishpat l'derisechem, a statute of judgment of justice for your generations. With the pasuk there says, "B'chol ma'shvesechem," in all your settlements. Lamanu l'sanhedrin shenegis pa'aretz u'b'chutz la'aretz. This teaches us that the Sanhedrin is in Eretz Yisrael and the Chutz La'aretz, wherever the Jewish people are. So MK in Matam Alem and Bisharechas, it says the Brisa, then what does it teach when it starts with Pasha Shaiftim? It says, Shaiftim is Shaitim Tin Lacha Bechol Sharecha in all your Sha'arim. It sounds like that by every Shar, what is that teaching? So on that says, and this sounds like that this is only in Eretz Yisrael, is Bisharecha to Meshav Bate Dinim Chol Pelech Chol Pelech. In your gates, which refers to the land of Eretz Yisrael, yeah, there's a distinct halacha of putting courts over there, because there you have to have in every province, u'b'chol yivir, and then every city, that's by your gates of every city, and there it's Yisrael. But b'chutz la'aretz, although we're saying that there are Sanhedrin in chutz la'aretz, like it says b'chol meshav yisechem, but there at meshav b'chol pelech v'pelech, there you only have to put in every province, v'at meshav b'chol yivir, there you don't have to put in every single city, so that's how we resolve both psukim. Yeah, it's b'chol meshav yisechem, but it's also only in some element, Bishurecha, which is the gates of your cities in Eretz Yisrael. There, you only there in Eretz Yisrael you need to have, by every city, in contrast to Chutz La'aretz. Now the Mishnah says, Sanhedrin Ha'aregis V'chulu, a high court that kills once every 7 years, is called a Chavlanus, a destroyer. Now Rabbi Elazar ben Azari said once every 70 years. Now, Ibailu, the following question. Achas l'shiv mishana, what does Rabbi Elazar ben Azari mean when he says once every 70 years? That even that's nikras chavlanus? He's disagreeing with the Tanakama. Tanakama said once every 7 years is chavlanus. He's saying even once every 70 years is called chavlanus. Eidema urcha arahi, or maybe what his comment was, he's saying, you're right, once every 70 years is a destroyer. What is normal is once every 70 years. That's normal, that's not a chavlanus. So the Gemara take a little stand, it's not clear what he's saying. Was he saying even then is Chavlanus, is a destroyer? Or no, that would be the norm once every 70 years. Now the Mishnah said, Reb Tarfon and Reb Akiva Oimrim, they said, Elohim b'chulu, had we been on the Sanhedrin when they would decide capital punishment, no defendant would have ever been executed. So the Gemara says, Heichav Avdeh, what would they have done? How would they have played it? If witnesses say they saw someone commit a crime of murder, how would they get him off the hook? Says the Gemara, Bichim and Belazar, Damar Tavai, they both said that they would have asked the witnesses, Re'isim Trefaharag? Yeah, you saw him kill somebody, but did you see if that person had a mortal defect, or Shalom Harag, or if he killed a person that was whole? How do you know? You can't prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that this was a person that is guilty of murder. If a person's a Trefa, he's like a dead man, he's not Chayim. So since you don't know that, we can't execute him. Now, Amr Vash, he adds on, he says, "Im tim tzolei mishom haven," even if you're going to say that they know he killed a whole person, meaning that the witnesses are going to say, yeah, we checked after the death of the victim from all the 18 types of mortal defects that are possible, and he didn't have any of them, so we know he's guilty of murder. Still, he says that Reb Tarfon and Reb Akiva could have asked the witnesses, "Dima b'mokam saif nekev hava," maybe where he pierced him with the sword, maybe there is where there was originally a hole in the person's body, a mortal defect, and therefore you can never prove when he stabs him that he wasn't a trefa. Maybe exactly where he stabbed him, that's where there was a hole before, and he would have died anyway, and therefore you can't go ahead and execute the defendant. So the Gemara says, okay, that works with murder. But what would they have done? Let's say two witnesses saw a man cohabiting with a woman that's forbidden to him. How would Rabbi Kibim Tavin have gotten them off the hook there? So Abayi v'Rava Damar Tavai, they both say that they would have asked the witnesses, Re'isim kimikchol b'shveferes, did you see that the man's insertion into the woman Man, now witnesses don't look like, they don't gaze like that. Shefeferis is the hollow tube where ladies would put some type of, let's say, makeup, eyeliner. And mikhail is that small little applicator that goes into that small thing, which is euphemistic for the male member into the female. So, did you see that insertion? No, you didn't. And since you didn't see that, you can't prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that this is what happened. Maybe it was just something simulated, it just looks like, and therefore, you can't kill. We can't kill the defendant. Now, the Gemara says, if Rabbanan, but then according to Rabbanan, that they disagree in our Mishnah, with only Rabbi Tavin and Mekiva saying this. But according to Rabbanan, that hold that a person is liable for death for cohabiting with a forbidden woman, say, Hechidaini. So how actually do they judge? What type of a testimony could they use to execute somebody since witnesses don't see literally the man and the woman? So it's the Gemara Kishmul. It's like Shmuel. Dama Shmuel said, B'menafim, regarding adulterers, Mishayaru k'menafim, when they appear like adulterers. In other words, when they are acting in the way of cohabitation, where they're laying close and they're acting in the way how people are during intercourse, that is enough for us to say that that is what's happening. And even though we don't see actual every detail, that's still enough to say that that's what they engaged in and would be enough to execute the defendant. Hadnulach Ketzad Edom, we shall return to you. The first parak of Masechtas Makkos, parak Ketzad Edom, which spoke about the halachas of Edom Zayman. Then we move on to the second parak, parak Elohin HaGaylin, which says what it's talking about regarding those who are guilty of gullus, of going into exile again, which is continues the theme of the previous Masechta of Sanhedrin, which talks about the four types of Mises Bezin. Here we spoke about Edom Zayman, which is related to the verdict. And then in our parak, we talk about those who are chayiv gullus. Says the Mishnah, Elohin HaGaylin, these are those who are chayiv exile, which halacha, that a person has to run away to a city of refuge, is hahayrig nefesh b'shkag. If someone kills someone by mistake. Now, says the Mishnah describes what type of criterion would require and allow someone the kapara, the punishment of going into exile. Says the Mishnah, ha'yima'agil b'magila. Now, what it was is that in the Talmudic times, they would smear their roofs with plaster. Now, their roofs were not slanty, but to not allow the water to just gather on the top, they would plaster it a slightly more on an incline, where so that it should roll off, the water should roll off the roof. Now, they would smear the plaster with a piece of wood that was thick and smooth, and it had a handle, and they would push it towards the plaster towards downward as a way of pushing it down so that there's this incline. And they would also then pull it back, push and pull, push and pull. Now, through that procedure, that would smooth out and flat that on this incline, the plaster. Now, the act of pushing that broom type that would push the plaster was called ma'agil, and the pulling it back was called ma'ishich, and the name of that piece of wood was called ma'agila. So, what the Mishnah is describing is he's ma'agil b'ma'agila if he was smoothing out the plaster with this ma'agila, again in the pushing down action. V'nafalalav v'argase. Now that piece of wood fell down and killed someone, or hayimishal shel b'chavis, if he was lowering down the barrel from the roof, v'nafalalav v'argase, and it fell on somebody and it killed him, or a third case, hayayayrid, if the murderer was coming down besulim, v'nafalalav, and then he fell off the ladder onto a person, v'argase, and he killed that person with his body. That's how he killed his friend. Hareiz agayil, in all these three cases, that person has to go into gullus because all these three types of mistaken murders were in a way of coming down, what's called derech irida. And as the Gemara will explain, for the halacha of gullus has to be, as the pasuk says, v'yapilav, that it fell on him, has to be when it was in the act of lowering. Avol, but says the Mishnah, the other way around. Im hayo meishich b'magila, if he was pulling that piece of wood back up, because you have that procedure when you're plastering the roof, going down and up, down and up. So he was pulling it up, but it fell out of his hand, and v'nafalav hargas, and it fell on the victim and it killed him. Or hayadoy lebuchavis, if he was actually pulling the barrel up onto the roof, v'nifsika chevel, but then the rope got detached, v'nafalav hargas, and it fell down and it killed the victim. Or as we continue to Amud Beis, Haya Ayla Basulam, if the murderer, the non-premeditated murderer, was going up a ladder, the Nafalav Harga, and he fell off and he killed the victim, Hariza Eina Gaila, these three cases, he's not going to go into Galus. Explains the Mishnah, Zakla, this is the general rule. Anything that was in the way, in the action, in a projection of downward motion, and then by mistake he kills someone, then he goes into galus. But if it's not in the way of going down, then as these cases where they're all on the way up, and then it fell, then in the galus, then he doesn't go into galus. Says the Gemara, where do we know this halacha from that it has to be derech yiridasei? So Amash Moi says the Amakra, the pasuk says in Mamidbar, v'yapa l'lov v'yamais, that he falls on the victim and the guy dies. That's when he's chayav galus. So says the Gemara, ach yipol derech nafila. What does it mean v'yapa l'lov? Because it has to be that he falls in the way of falling, meaning on the way down, which is the way of falling, and then he falls on the person. Then he's going to be chayav galus. But if let's say he was on his way up and then he falls, then he's not chayav for galus. Tarbonan the Brisa continue on these halachas and criterion of when is a person chayim galus. The pasuk says in Bamidbar that the nasham ritzeach makin nefesh, talking about the halacha of Ari Mikla, which is the halacha of galus of exile. You have to go to one of the cities of refuge, which in the cities of the Levium. So the one who killed somebody has to run over there. If he killed, like the pasuk said, bishkaga, by mistake. Says the Brisa, prat lemezer, that excludes someone who killed deliberately, then he doesn't have the halacha of galus. Now there's another pasuk in Devarim that says that this is the halacha of someone who murdered, that he has to run over there to the city of refuge and he'll live. If he killed his friend, as the pasuk says, bivli das, without awareness. Says the Braisa, where's the word without awareness? Prat l'miskaven. That excludes if he was aware. If he was aware, then he's not going to go into galus. So the Gemara asks on both of these halachas. When it says Bishkaga, which excludes Mezid, the Gemara asks, Mezid, deliberately, Pshita, obviously he's not going to Galus. Bar Katalu, he's actually someone that gets executed. He has the death penalty. Of course, he's not going to Galus. So Amar Rabbi says, no, what do we mean in the Braisa when it's excluding Mezid? Ema say, Pradlo Ema Mutter, it's excluding somebody who says it's permitted. In other words, he thought you're allowed to kill a Jewish person. And therefore, he did the act deliberately. He just thought it's permitted. That's something that's not going to be considered shaggy. Shaggy was an error. In other words, it's someone that it was a mistake. Here he did it deliberately. He just thought it's permitted. On that, Amalei Abaya asked to Rava, if you're saying the case is Tumah, when the guy said it's permitted, Anasu, so that's considered an Oinus. It's something that he was totally unaware of. So how could you call that Mezid deliberate when it's something that it's even more than a shaggy? And maybe that would be why he'd be exempt, but not the other way around, because you're considering close to being amazed. Amalei, to which Rava responded, he says, no, Sha'ani Omer, I say, Ho'ema Mutav, if someone says something like murdering a Jew, that is permitted, Karvel Amazidu, that's something that's really close to being deliberate. You should have known that that's forbidden, and although we're not going to call it an actual Amazid, you're not going to get the death penalty, but you definitely cannot have the atonement of Gullus, because that's definitely close to being deliberate. Now, when the Braisa said Bivli Das, when the Pasuk says that if only he goes into Galus, if it was without awareness that he killed the other person, is Prat Miskaven, that excludes if it was done with awareness. So the Gemara asks, oh, here also, Miskaven, Pshita, if he did it with awareness, with intent, obviously, Bar Katalahu, he's going to get the death penalty if he killed someone with intent, so that's murder. So Amarabi says, no, it's not Toma that he intended for this person and he killed him. That's Mazed. Rabbi says it's prat lemiskaven lahargas behema vahargas adam. He had intent, but he didn't have intent for this person. He intended, he thought he was killing an animal. Turns out he killed a person. Or lekuti vahargas yisrael, he thought he was killing a kuti, which has halacha not as a Jew, and ended up killing a Jew. Or lenefel vahargas ben kiyama, he thought he was killing a non-viable child, and he killed a viable child. That's what we're excluding. Of course, if it was miskaven, he's going to get a death penalty. Here, he's not getting a death penalty. He didn't realize he's killing a Jew, but it wasn't totally unaware, and since there was awareness, albeit not awareness that he's killing a Jew, so therefore he's not viable for the atonement of going into galus. The Gemara continues turn around with another braisa, again elaborating on the psukim and the halochas of galus. So the pasuk says in Bamidbar, says, and the whole pasuk says over there, v'im befesa, that we're going to say the literal translation, then the braisa is going to say the midrashic translation. So the pasuk says, "V'im befesa," if suddenly that beloy eva, without hatred, he pushed this guy, or he threw on him any type of a utensil, beloy tzedi, without ambush, and the guy dies. Okay, said it wasn't intentional, so then he has to go into galus. But the Brice expounds the pasuk as follows. The Brice says, imbefesa. Now, the word pesa, although we translate it as suddenly, it could be translated as actually the Targum, Aramaic translation of that word in the pasuk translates it as close by, biskif, immediate. What that means to say is, only if it's something that was a sudden thing, that the victim didn't have a time to protect himself, so then we're going to hold the murderer who did it by mistake liable to go into galus. But prat lekaren zavus, that excludes if, let's say, it was in a corner. If, let's say, that this guy was walking out of this mavri, which mavri is like a dead end, so to speak, and he's coming to make a right turn or a left turn, and he's holding a knife in his hand. Now the victim is coming opposite him from the other corner where he could see that guy is coming with the knife. But this guy didn't see and he killed him. That's not so much the fault of the murderer, because the victim had time to protect himself, and although he didn't and he got killed, that's not going to be a liability for the murderer, and he's not going to be chayav in galus. The pasuk continues and says, if he did it beloy eva, without hatred, prat l'slayni, that excludes an enemy. If an enemy did it, then we don't give him the option, the atonement of going into galus. When it says hadafi, that he pushed him, shadachve begufi, that he pushed him with his body without intent, that is something that was a mistake, that if he kills the person, he's going to go into galus. And the pasuk says, oyhish l'chalav, or if he threw on him, that's lehevi yiridil shehila tzarech aliyah. That comes to include a descent that's for the purpose of ascent. So for example, let's say somebody wants to lift up his hand with a lot of force, and he's holding an axe in his hand. So to do that, he first lowers his hands in front of his body, and he bends down. So that gives him the vortex, the torque, to be able to lift up with strength, and so that he could come down really hard when it's below, when it's behind him, he comes down, and then he really chops down. Now, the case that we're talking about is here is when his initial lowering of it is on, when then, by mistake, someone was dead, he killed that person. Now, that you would think to say, and that's what we're saying, don't say that since that initial descent was only for the purposes of picking it up, which is Litzarech Aliyah, so therefore he should be exempt from Golis, because as we said before, it says Vayapel. It has to be that it was Derech Yerida. Now here, although it was through an act of coming down, but it was really all in the intent of lifting it up, so maybe that would not be considered Derech Nefila. That's what the Brice is teaching from the words, Oyhish L'chalav. If he threw down on him, another terminology to say, no matter what the larger context is, but if this act was an act of lowering, even though it was for the purpose of picking up of Aliyah, it's going to be considered a derech irida, and he's going to be chayev gullis for that type of killing. Pasuk continues and says, beloy tzediyah, which we translate as without ambush, but also the word tzediyah is from the shayrish, from the root of tzidud, of side, meaning that there was no intent to have this projectile, let's say a bullet or whatever it is, or an axe, to go to another side, meaning not where the victim was. It was to go over here. He didn't know this guy was here, so it's a shaygig, but he intended it to go here. Now, prat, like, that comes to include, to exclude, l'miskavan l'tzadzeh v'hochol l'tzadacher, where he intended to throw one direction, and instead, by mistake, went to a totally different direction. There is totally not considered a liability of the one who killed by mistake, and then he's not going to go into galus. The next pasuk continues and says, "Ve'ashalay tzada," which he did not lie in ambush. Again, but here the word could be from tzad, from the side. So what the halacha of the pasuk is saying is that he did not intend to throw it on the side of him, which is near him. Rather, he intended to throw it to the place where he threw it, but he just didn't know that there was a person there. So since he intended to throw it there and it went there, so although it was a shagig, then he's going to be chayav galus. But that says the brisa, prat l'miskavan l'zuk shtayim b'zark arba. That excludes if, let's say, he intended to throw 2 amas, and instead it went 4 amas, or he intended to throw 4 amas and went 8 amas, where there, he didn't want it to go there at all. He overthrew it, so that's considered karav l'ayin, is close to something being beyond his control, something that he really didn't want, and that's not even a shagig, and in that case, he's not going to be chayav the galus for killing this person. Then the pasuk continues and says, and this is a pasuk in Sefer Devarim, which also talks about this concept of killing by mistake and the Ari Miklat. Says Vashayova Yesre'ehu Bayar, that if his friend is going to come into the forest, and it says that this guy, and we're going to quote the pasuk later on, that he's going to try coming to chop wood, and then a piece of the wood flies out and kills this person by mistake, so then he's Chayav and Gal, he has to go to the one, the Ari Miklat. Says the Braisa, this comes to teach you what's the significance of saying that he was going into the forest. Just like a forest is permission for both the damager and the victim, they're allowed to be there in the public forest. So that halacha is teaching us that this halacha of Ari Miklat, of going to Gullis, is also if it was in the area where the guy was killed, that both the nizik and the mazik were permitted to go there, which excludes if, let's say, it was in the courtyard of the homeowner of the mazik, and then the victim came in, there he had no right to be. Then there, if he's killed by mistake, there the mazik is not going to be chayav galus to go to the Ari Miklat. Now the Gemara asked a question related to one of the halachas we said before, regarding this, you read letzarech aliyah, b'yimnei rebavom rebbe yechanan, says, hayayla besulam, let's say someone was going up a ladder. Now, v'nishma tashli v'mitachtav, but then, one of the rungs got pushed down from beneath him, because he's weighing it down when he's stepping on the rungs going up, v'nafla v'hargamau, and that rung fell down, and it killed somebody. What's the halachas? What's the question? Shabbavo explains, the question is, ki hai gavna aliyahi or yiridahi? How would you qualify that case? Is that considered a going up, which then we said you're pater? Or is it a going down, which then you're chayiv? What do you mean? Do we go and we define the subject, the person, and the person was involved in going up, so then he's exempt? Or do we go based on the rung, and the one who was going on the rung was pushing it downward when he's going up? And since that was a downward motion, for that it should be chayiv. So is it aliyah or yirida? So Malay Rabbi Yechanan said to him, Kfar Nagata be yirida sheyitzarech aliyah. You're already touching on the halacha of what's called a yirida, which is letzarech aliyah, which is, as we explained before, the Braisa said clearly that then one is chayiv. So though it's for the intention of going up, but this specific act is a going down. When he's stepping down in it, it's pushing down. So though it's for the intention of going up, but that action is going down, and therefore is going to be chayiv for killing someone by mistake if that wrong goes and pushes down and kills that person. However, Esavi, the Gemara asked, Rabbi Vo asked on Rabbi Yechanan from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Zaklal, this is the general rule. Kol shebi derech yiridasa geila. Anything that's in the downward motion, he goes into galus. Shaloi bederech yiridasa in the geila. If it's not in the downward motion, he does not go into galus. Says Rabbi Vo, Shaloi bederech yiridasa lesu yimai. What does the Mishnah mean to include when it says, if it's not in a downward direction? Lav lesu yikai gavne, isn't it coming to include this case, which is that it's not derech yiridasa, although that it's pushing it down, but the derech is aliyah. So don't you see from the Mishnah that if it's not derech yiridasa, even though this action is yirida, that then it's going to be pater? Which Rabbi Yechon responded to him and says, wait, l'tamech, according to your reasoning, your rationale, how you're reading the words of the Mishnah, then what's with the other case? And the Mishnah gave the other klal. It says, kol shebi derech yiridasa. That lasu yimai. So Rabbi Yechon, what does the Mishnah mean tinku when it says, and whatever is derech yirida, either it's yirida or it's not. What do you mean derech yiridasa? What would that mean to include? That would seem to be a contrary indication. That would seem to indicate that, yeah, that there's something more included, that maybe that's the case that we're discussing, and it is considered a derech yirida. Ella rather says, Rabbi Yechanan, it's not difficult on me from the Mishnah, because lasuye katsev, the Mishnah, actually in both of these klalim, are coming to include the halacha of a butcher. Where, so therefore, just like that case of when it's saying kol she b'derech yiridasa is coming to include the case of a butcher, hachanam lasui katzav, here also when it's saying whatever is not b'derech yiridasa is also coming to include the case of the butcher. What does that mean? So it says the Gemara, the Tanakh, learn the Braisa, which from that halacha will understand that when it's saying b'derech yiridasa or shalei b'derech yiridasa, that there are certain actions that in that same action you could break it down to its compartments. Compartmentalize it and find that there's going to be something that's a derech yirida or not derech yirida, and that's going to be the difference if that's going to be chayav galus or not. But not that it's a contradiction on Misa Jeb Yechanan that, let's say, the case I'm saying about stepping down on the rung and it falls down, that is considered derech yirida, even though it's for the ultimate purpose of going up. That's a Jeb Yechanan, that's a yirida tzarech ali, which is considered a yirida itself, and one would be chayav. So Rabbi Yechanan explains the time like Linda Bryce. Katsav shahi makatsav, a butcher that was cutting the pieces of meat. So Tana Chada, we learned in one brisa that Lifanov, when he kills, when he was going in a forward motion, so then Chayiv is Chayiv. La'achrav Pater, he was going in a behind him motion, then he's going to be Pater, he's going to be exempt. Now, V'tayin Yidach, in the second brisa that says the opposite. Says le'achrav chayev. When it was behind him, he's chopping with his cleaver. When it's behind him and he kills someone by mistake, then he's chayev. Lefan of pot, in front of him, he's going to be exempt. But Tanidich, in the third brisa, it says, no, be'lefan of be'lachrav chayev. Whether it's in front of him, the cleaver, or behind him, he's going to be chayev. And but Tanidich, in the fourth brisa, be'lefan of be'lachrav potter, whether it's in front of him or behind him, he's going to be exempt. Four contradictory brises. Which says the Gemara says Rabbi Yechanan b'loy kasha. It's not difficult because this is proving Rabbi Yechanan's point. Whatever is in an upward motion, you're going to be exempt. Whatever is in a downward motion, you're going to be chayav. So therefore, it's as follows. Khan, the first brisa that said that if it's in front of him, he's going to be chayav, and if it's behind him, he's going to be potter, is talking about b'yirida shalafanav when he was going downward in front of him, v'aliyah shalachrav and when he was going up behind him. Meaning, first thing that the butcher does is first he lowers his arms. He goes downward so that he can lift up with a lot of force and then come back down and chop whatever he has to chop. Now, the halacha that it's saying that lefan of his chayiv is talking about when he was first lowering his arms. Then he's chayiv because that's a downward motion. When it says that behind him he's going to be patr, it's because that was what told him when he was lifting up behind him. That was an upward motion. Upward motion, you're patr. Khan, the second brace that said the opposite, that behind him is chayiv and in front of him is potter, is Baliya Shalafanov, V'yirida Shalachrav, was talking about the upward motion when he's in front of him and in the lowering motion when it's behind him. So for example, when someone lifts up his arm with force until he lowers it behind him to come back chopping down, so when he picks it up behind his shoulder, when it's behind him, then he lifts it up again to come down forcefully in front of him. So when he kills, when he's lowering it behind him, when he finally lifts it up on top of his shoulders, then he lowers it. He wants to go all the way back to come with a real force. When he's lowering it, that's a downward motion, then he's going to be chayiv. And however, when he kills in the lifting part in front of him, when he's lifting it up, that's a derech aliyah, so then he's going to be patur. Khan, the third brace that says both in front of him and behind him is going to be chayiv, is birida shalafanim shalachrav, is both in the lowering motions, both in front of him and behind. When in front of him and when he's lowering it originally, and back is also when he's lowering it before he comes back up. Khan, the fourth brace that says both in front of him and behind him is going to be potter, is baliyah shalafanim shalachrav, is both in the hiring motions, both be front of him and behind him, as we said that in front of him is when he's lifting it up, and behind him is also when he's lifting it up, those are going to be upward motions, then he's going to be patur. But again, they prove Rabbi Yechanan's point that the Mishnah is coming to say by Zach Klal, Nalgar Bevo asked on him that it told him in a case of adding Yuri Letzerech Aliyah, that since Letzerech Aliyah, so that's considered Shaloi B'derech Yudasa, that he wouldn't go into Gaul. Says Rabbi Yechanan, no, that is considered Chayiv, because it's ultimately a downward motion. Our Mishnah, when it's saying, Kozah Klal, it's in the case of a butcher, and it's coming to allude that yeah, because like by a butcher you could have so many different ways of going up and going down, before and behind, so it's coming to tell you, look, ultimately what it comes down to is if it was in an actual downward motion, you're going to gullus. If it was not an actual downward motion, then you're not going to go into gullus. Now however, says the Gemara Lema, let's say that this question of Bavo, where if the rung fell down when he was stepping on it, but the guy was walking up, that let's say that's ketanoi, like a machlekes tanoi. Because we learned, haya'ayla besulim, seemingly in this case, a guy's going up a ladder, v'nishmetosh liv mitachtav, and then the rung collapses from beneath him, and it falls on someone and kills him. Tanicha the chayiv, one brisa says he's liable, but tanya yidich pata, one says he's exempt. My love bogem mefligi, isn't this what they're disagreeing about? Demar sava yuridihi, the first brisa holds that like Rabbi Yechanan, it's considered a descent, although he's going up, but it's yurid letzerech aliyah, and yurid letzerech aliyah, that yurid is considered yurid, that he's chayiv. Umar sava alihi, whereas the second brisa holds that no, he's going up, and therefore he's pata. Says the Gemara, no. The kulama alihi v'lekash, everyone could be not like Rabbi Yechon. Everyone could be like where Bavo was asking. And it's not difficult. Because Khan, l'nezakin, the first price that says he's chayiv, is talking about regarding the laws of damages. It's talking about that if he doesn't kill the victim, rather he damages him, the price is saying he's going to be chayiv. Because regarding damages, there it doesn't make a difference if he did it by mistake or deliberately, whether going up or going down. As the Gemara says, about b'kamach avavim beis, it says petza tachat patza, which holds a person liable for doing by mistake as he does deliberately when it's beyond his control as when he does it willingly. So that's when he's chayiv. But Khan Legalis, the second Brysa, is Toma for Gullis. There, everyone would agree that it's considered an Aliyah. Or Ibai Seymour, if you want, you could say, the Havaha Legalis Loikash. No, both Brysa Toma the Halachas of Gullis, and still not a difficulty. Because Ha de Atliyah, the first Brysa is talking about where the ladder, the rung, was a little bit wormy. There, the one who killed by mistake is going to be Chayiv, because whenever you have that the rung is wormy, so when a person steps on it, it bends under the pressure downward, and that's considered a downward motion, like Rabbi Yochanan had said, and then you're going to be chayiv. Ha delay tliya, the second brace that says that you're not going to be chayiv, is where it's not wormy, so even Rabbi Yochanan would agree, when you're stepping on the ladder, you're not, there's no downward motion over there, because it doesn't budge. It doesn't budge, so it's all upward, and therefore, if it does fall and kill someone, the second brace would say that you're going to be potter. Or if you want, you could say, both brises are talking about when the rungs are not wormy and it's still not a difficulty, they don't contradict each other. Because the second brise is talking about that if the rung took up the whole entire hole of the ladder that it's stuck into, so it's tight, very lodged in very tight, where there it's not budging at all when you're stepping in it, and therefore doesn't have any give. So it's no derech irida, and that's why everyone would agree that you're going to be potter. The first brayse is talking about when it's not firmly in there, so there is give, so when someone steps on that rung, it does go down a little bit. There is like what Rabbi Yochanan said, that would be considered a yirida, although it's l'tzarech aliyah, and one would be chayiv. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which is continuing with the theme about the criterion regarding the halachas that says there in the pasuk and the varm that we referred to before in Perakei Tes Pasuk Hey, regarding someone who kills by mistake that has a chiv of galus to go to the Ari Miklat. Now there's two machlekes in this Mishnah, Rabbi Chacham, which are actually contingent one on the other in how we interpret the pasuk. First machlekes says the Mishnah is Nishmat Habarz L'mikite Baharg. If someone has an axe and he's chopping wood, and then the iron head of the axe gets dislodged from the wooden handle, and it flies out and it kills somebody. So Rebbe says that case, the murderer is not going to go into galus. The sages say he does go into galus. Another case, if let's say the guy's chopping wood and he hits a tree, and then a twig comes out from the tree and it shoots out to a distance and it hits somebody and it kills him. Rebbe and Megoyla say it's the opposite. Rebbe says in this case he does go to Galus. Chacham say he does not go into Galus, and actually because each one is learning the pasuk in a different way, and therefore the other one's case they're going to say is not the case when you go into Galus. So the Gemara explains Tanya learned the Braisa. Amalham Rebbe lechacham. Rebbe said to the sages. Now this is based on the pasuk in the Devarim where the pasuk says, "Vashayove Esrei'u v'yar lachtav etzim." If his friend is going to come with him into the forest to chop wood. It says, and his hand is going to push in the axe to chop wood. And then the iron is going to dislodge from the wood. It's going to find his friend and he's going to die. I mean, it's going to be projected onto him and he's going to die. So then this guy who killed by mistake should flee to one of the cities of refuge and then he'll stay alive. So the machlekes is how do we define v'noshal habarzel mino eitz? And that's the two different cases of our Mishnah. So on that, the Braisa says that Rebbe said to the Chacham, the Chinamer, does the pasuk say v'noshal habarzel mei eitzai? It doesn't say that. It says mino eitz. Does it say that the iron gets dislodged from its wood? Which would be like how the Chacham interpreted that they say it's talking about when it's the wood from the handle that gets dislodged from the iron head. But it says from the wood. If it was talking about the metal piece getting dislodged from the, from the wooden handle, it should have said me'eit zayit. Saying me'eit says Rebbe, it sounds like the way he describes the case, which is from the tree. A splinter from the tree shoots out and kills the guy. That's the case of the pasuk, is mechayev galus. But moreover, second point Rebbe says to the Chacham is, nemer eitz lamata. It says the term eitz later on the pasuk, which is what we're describing, where it says v'noshel habarzel me'eitz, that the iron gets dislodged from the wood. The nemer eitz lamal, it says eitz earlier in the pasuk when it says that he came to the forest lichrosa eitz, to chop wood. Ma eitz ha'malamal, just like the word wood earlier in the pasuk, is mina eitz mispikeya. That's clearly talking about the wood that gets chopped, because it's saying he's coming to lichrosa eitz. That's about the wood of the tree. Af eitz ha'malamata. So then when it says eitz again later on the pasuk, is mina eitz mispikeya. It's from the wood of the tree that gets chopped. That's the wood that kills the guy. That's the liability, but not that the iron of the axe itself gets dislodged from the wooden handle, and then that goes out and shoots out and kills the victim. That's not the case of the pasuk. Now, Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashkim Rabbi says, "V'shnei mikra echad darshu." Both Rebbe and the Chacham, they expound the halachas from the same pasuk. The words of the pasuk, as we said before, is "V'nashal habarzel mina eitz," that the iron gets dislodged from the wood. What does that mean? So Rebbe Sava, Rebbe holds, "Yesh aim l'misayrus." There's a primacy in the tradition of how a word was given over, how it was written by Moshe to the Jewish people in the Torah. That's how we expound the word in the pasuk, and not how we read it. How we read the word is, as we said before, we read it v'noshal. Now, if one would read, as we read the word v'noshal, it's almost, in when you pronounce it, as if you have to add an aleph or a hey between the nun and the shin. V'noshal. So it sounds like there's a hey or an aleph over there. Now, but according to the Messiahs, according to the tradition of how it's written, v'nishal k'siv, it would be read, how if you read it how it's written, it would be read v'nishal, which that interprets as that the barzel caused the wood that's being chopped to get dislodged. And that finds the friend, and that kills him. So therefore, that's why Rebbe says it's talking about v'nishal Habarzel Manaitz, that the barzel causes the wood to get dislodged from the tree, and that's why he defines the pasuk that way. Whereas Rabban and Savri Yashem Lemikra, Rabban hold that there's a primacy for how you read the word in the pasuk. V'noshal Karinan, and we read V'noshal, which that's a word of P'el, which is reflexive, that is, that it's saying V'noshal Habarzel Manaitz, that the iron is getting dislodged from the wood. What do you mean the iron? From its own wood is getting dislodged, and then the iron shoots out and kills somebody. That's how they define that halacha. And again, that's why in the Mishnah, these two different cases, they disagree with the other one's case to say that then you're not Goyla. Now the Gemara asked, Rebbe Yesh Eim L'Masari Sfirulei, is that really so that Rebbe, as we're explaining, holds, we give primacy to how a word is written and not how it's read? But if you continue to have of Chasam and Al of Amr, Rabbi Yitzchak by Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yechanan, he says in Masechta Sanhedrin there in the first topic there in the Avdalam and Aleph, that Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz, Ubi Shammai, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Kiva, Kulu Svir Lehu Yeshem Lemikr, they all hold there's a primacy to how it's read and not how it's written. Says the Gemara, yes. Hainu de Kamalu, that's why Rebbe said to the Chachamim, and he said, V'oid, and also to learn it from Xerishava, you're right. He said 2 points. He said, first of all, the way it says the pasuk, which that would be based on Yesh Eim L'Misayrus, but that's if someone holds Yesh Eim L'Misayrus. But since Rebbe himself actually holds Yesh Eim L'Mikra, that's what he said. And moreover, which is actually how I hold, there's another reason why it would be like my interpretation, because it says, Gzeres Shava of Eitz Lamala, Eitz Lamata, just like there, it was from the wood of the tree, so too over here, it's from the wood of the tree that kills the person. But again, he was first saying that if the Chacham hold Yeshem L'Misayrus, but yeah, he who holds Yeshem L'Mikra, that's what he had to say, V'oid, another reason why it's like his interpretation, which is from Gzeres Shava, because yeah, he actually holds Yeshem L'Mikra.